Welcome to the Redacted Apostate, where we talk about all things cult and information that is happening today. We're going to talk about the Ruby Frankie, Jody Hildebrandt sentencing that happened yesterday, which I found so interesting. The whole thing was interesting to me. I know you probably didn't think it was that interesting, but I didn't even know who these people were.
No, I mean, I don't think anybody really did other than their YouTube followers, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't know anything either.
No, we didn't know anything until our son came and told us that a YouTuber had been arrested for child abuse.
Right.
And we're like, what are you talking about? And then we looked it up, and then it got more extensive and involved. And I thought when they were arrested, they both seemed really unrepentant.
Mm-hmm.
They both seemed really high and mighty.
Right.
And then as the lawyer started releasing information, then specifically Ruby Frankie, her tune really changed.
Right. Right. And so I guess that kind of leads to the piece of information about, like, was she really brainwashed or not?
Well, so there's no way to know.
I mean, yeah.
There's no way to know one way or the other what really happened. But all I can look at is what she said.
Right.
And what happened, what was the outcome of the whole case, which I think is really interesting. And it's really hard for people. I kind of got swooped into some of the comments about her that were really hating on her.
Right.
Specifically, Ruby Frankie. They're really hating
the mom.
The mom.
Yeah.
In this case. She's a mom. How dare she do this? And I get that. Mm-hmm. It's how anyone can.
I mean, valid point, you know.
At the same time, those are people who've never been caught up in a high control group mm-hmm. or in a cult. And not that I'm excusing any of her behavior. It's that you can kind of see where that led to the path, especially with a really powerful psychologist, cult leader, high control person as Jody Hildebrandt. And
so, what do we know about her? What's her background?
So they're all Mormon, which puts them in right.
Yeah.
Like in the last conversation, how you jump from one cult to another.
Well, especially Mormon is, like I was saying previously, is it always seems like it's a breeding ground for these really unusual fringe, you know, Mormon beliefs. Because, you know, when you say anybody can be a, you know, prophet, then everybody can be a prophet.
Anyone can be a prophet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The challenge, though, is that women cannot. So where Jody Hildebrandt came in is as this savior complex mm-hmm. where she was the only one that could save these families.
Right.
And her background is, this is based on the interviews that I've seen so far. Some of the other Mormon cult podcasts have interviewed some of her victims, previous victims. So specifically there was...
So this is not the first time.
No, huh?
Okay.
So there was this one man, his whole family went to go see her
mm-hmm.
and he pretty much destroyed their family through her teachings
right.
the way she was.
Right.
He got her removed. I don't even know what the word is.
Disbarred?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, disbarred. Yeah. But it's whatever it is for the medical profession.
Yeah, there's
their license taken away.
Yeah, violating the Hippocratic Oath, basically. And
I don't know if that applies to psychologists or what.
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, if it doesn't, it should. I mean, you know.
So he got her removed. And then he went on the podcast and his ex-wife did a cease and desist on the podcast. He was in violation of the divorce. And so that got taken down. But I happened to see it like right when it came up. So it's a very complicated stuff.
Oh my God.
And then her, I forget the word that she is, that they are. It's a non-binary individual that is Jody Hildebrandt's biological brother or sister's child. So there's a word for it.
Messed up? Is that?
No.
Okay.
No. Because the person is non-binary, so they are not a niece or a nephew.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, but I forget what the word is.
One of the in-laws. Yeah. Not in-laws.
In-law. They are a really, they are a relative.
Right.
And they did an interview and talked specifically about the abuse they suffered. And it was almost exactly like what was in the court documents. So I don't know if they were in the court case, but they felt really vindicated by what had happened.
Yeah.
Because they had been saying this for years and no one really believed them. So.
Because she didn't have a group of people. So because she didn't have a group of people, the damage was only done to individuals.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, I guess, private matter.
And she was making $1 million a year
kind
of money. And she is quoted as saying something like, the Mormon church has so much badness in it. I'm making $1 million a year, something like that. I mean, just horrible stuff. A lot of the stuff she was causing
these
families, she was not helping these families.
Right.
She was causing more damage. So she comes out of this Mormon faith, and the church was recommending her as a therapist.
Because she was Mormon.
Because she was Mormon. And so it created this loop, right, where Mormons would go see her. She was a high control person, and she would cause destruction to people.
Wow.
So far I've only seen two other people really speaking out about her, but I'm pretty sure there's more that are just they're just saying I don't want to deal with
it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, damage is already done. We're moving on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll find another cult to join.
Right.
So that's interesting. So she's a psychiatrist or sociologist background, and she was working within the Mormon church.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So Ruby Frankie, who is a Mormon,
mm-hmm.
and Mormons have the majority of them believe in, I mean, they're part of a high control group, so they have to highly control their children.
Right.
Because they don't want their children to die or get left behind in whatever.
Yeah.
They want them to be in their.
They want them to be good Mormons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're really controlling with their children. And that was Ruby Frankie. So early on in the, on the YouTube vlogging stuff where she made so much money, she would talk about stuff where her daughter would forget her lunch, and she would be like on the vlog, say, my daughter forgot her lunch, and there's consequences for forgetting your lunch. She doesn't get to eat. She was really strict. They took away the boy's bed, and the other people who were watching these vlogs reached out to CPS in Utah and said, there's a problem.
Right.
And CPS would go and look at her, and there was nothing wrong because she was living Mormon values. And so there really was nothing there.
Yeah, air quote Mormon values. Right. Yeah.
Like really strict Mormon values. So then she found Jody Hildebrandt. From what I've read and saw, then she found Jody Hildebrandt and fell under her spell.
Mm-hmm.
And Jody Hildebrandt really went exactly the way she normally does.
And they probably for a while, their thoughts intertwined. I would imagine.
I think.
Like Jody Hildebrandt would talk about stuff that she would agree with. Like, oh yes, you definitely have to be strict.
Yeah.
And it's just, and then anything that would happen, it'd be like, yeah, you need to be stricter and a little more stricter, you know.
Because your kids are evil.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't make that kind of change overnight, you know.
No. And I don't think it happened overnight. I think it happened over like a 6 to 8 month period. And then it got really bad.
And what's worse is, so not only do you have that feedback loop from the church, you also have the feedback loop from YouTube as well and social media.
Yeah. Yep.
For everybody that would say, you know, you're doing great. Yeah.
What great work you're doing. So then the both of them were arrested for child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And they both pled guilty.
Right. I'm wondering, so let's take on face value that the mom is sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And she wants to plead guilty because she feels that she is guilty and that she wants to, you know, sort of atone for what she's done. Why did Hildebrand?
Because Joe, and this is my theory, this is mm-hmm. completely conjecture. I have no way of knowing any of this.
Right, right. Because it didn't go to court, we don't really know. Yeah.
We have no idea.
Yeah.
I have the feeling that...
There'll be books written later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And YouTubes and podcasts.
Yeah.
I have the feeling
mm-hmm.
that even though the lawyers denied it and said this was not the case, I think Ruby Frankie came first and said, I'm guilty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pleading guilty. I'm going to testify against this woman.
Right.
And there was no hope for her
right.
at that point.
Right.
And they knew it. They knew once Ruby Frankie was going to testify for the prosecution, that was going to be it. So she had to come out and plead guilty also.
But there's no plea deals, right?
There was. They dropped. So there were 6 charges
mm-hmm.
against them. They dropped 2 of them. And so they ended up with just the 4 against each child.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really discuss sentencing. They were going to leave that up to the judge, and the judge didn't really sentence them either. So no one really sentenced them.
Right, right. It's just because you said it's going to go to the parole
mm-hmm.
board, which then I'm assuming they're going to talk about that even if they have any eligibility of parole
right.
at that point.
Right. And so that's where things, so that's where it gets really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jody, when Ruby Frankie was going to plead guilty,
mm-hmm.
that's when the, in her statement, she said she had been mind controlled, basically.
Right.
And that she had fallen down a bad path. And I wish I had the, I weren't really prepared.
No.
I don't have it in front of me. So I don't know exactly what she said.
But that was the general gist of it, was that these things did happen. I did do them, but I don't know if she even used but, more of and.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also controlled, you know, by this individual.
Mm-hmm. She even used the same language
mm-hmm.
that Jody Hildebrand uses. And that's another key marker for a high control
right,
group.
Right.
Is they change language and they reuse language to mean other things. And she used that language, or her lawyer used the language that Jody Hildebrand did.
Wow.
So it was really interesting, that statement when she pled guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And then today was, or yesterday was the sentencing. And that was interesting too. And the comments really bothered me. I said that earlier, the comments really
right,
bothered
yeah.
me. Because in my mind, Ruby Frankie, and as I told you last night too, it was biblical in the way she pleaded guilty.
Like, right.
It was as if somebody was throwing themselves in front of the king and saying, please have mercy on my soul.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
which is basically what she was doing.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And, you know, we had discussed that, too, is that the lawyer that was watching the sentencing was like, nobody does that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can tell your client that they should do that, and you can explain to them why this is important, but nobody ever does that.
Right. And she did. I mean, it was crazy how she thanked everyone
mm-hmm.
because those people are the people that saved her children.
Right.
And that she had come to her senses. And that's the thing about being in a high control group. People have this idea, and every brain is different, but usually it's an on-off switch. It's as soon as you realize that you've been in a high control group, that's it.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
And it's just like, flip, oh my God, what mm-hmm. happened? And I get that sense from reading and hearing her that that's what happened in prison or in jail. She wasn't in prison yet. In jail.
Right.
That switch got flipped somehow. And I don't know who did it or how it got done.
I think it might have been her.
It might have been her lawyers too mm-hmm. that did it. Because when they were arrested, she said, you need to protect my children because they're evil. Like something like that.
Right.
She was completely, when she was arrested,
wow.
She was in it completely, thinking her children are evil and deserve to be abused the way they were. So something happened when she was in jail to cause that flip. And it'd be interesting to know what that was. What
right.
was it that, because usually it's something small. And it could have been her bishop that came to her mm. and said, showed her the lighter or whatever it was. And I would read that book to know what it was. But and then once that switch got flipped in her brain and she realized she was in a high control situation, then at that point, all she could do was just beg for mercy.
Yeah.
And what could you do if you were in that situation where you had caused, and I think of other people like Patty Hearst,
mm-hmm.
the people that killed their children, the people like in Jonestown or the other Mormon mom that killed her two children mm-hmm. in the recent
crime. The zombie ones, yeah.
The zombies, yeah.
Right.
But she didn't go that far because law enforcement stepped
actually
in
did their jobs.
And, yeah. Because that little boy had the courage to run away mm-hmm. and get help. And then when she realized that, and this is the same with my mother, I think that's why I'm so interested in the other court case with the zombie kids, because I see my mother in that woman. Every time I look at her,
mm-hmm.
I see my mother. My mother had that blonde hair and the way she talked. And I think that's why I'm so obsessed with that. Not only because it's a cult, but I can see my mother. And when I left the cult, I even asked her, if your religion told you to kill me,
would you?
Mm-hmm. She refused to answer my question.
Yeah. Yep.
Her answer was, they would never do that. Like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't until they do.
Until they do. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And one of the things I think about really often is that my mother was at the time where she could have joined those really, really destructive cults.
Mm-hmm.
She could have joined Jonestown just by a small little switch of the dial.
Yeah, exactly.
She was in California right when they were. She could have been there. So the fact that she chose a cult that didn't kill me.
Yeah.
Or, and I wasn't sexually abused or really right. hit in any way, you know. I'm really thankful for that, that she just chose a cult that shunned me and made my life terrible. But I didn't
you prefer,
die.
Yeah, you prefer the cult that gives you permanent psychological, you know, issues for the rest of your life.
Over death.
Yeah.
Over death. That's the one. I'm so very thankful you didn't choose the death cult. Thank you, Mom. But I look at that
winning.
Woman. Yeah. Lori Daybell, Victor
mm-hmm.
Pugh something. I don't know what her name is now. Whatever her name is. I can never keep up with her names.
She changing her name or something? Or?
I don't know. She's got so many names. I
don't know.
And I'm so tired right now. I can't think of her name.
That's why I just call her Zombie Mom.
Zombie
you know?
Mom, yeah. That's,
you know?
That's the best. Because I see my mother in her look, in her, the way she talks. I just see my mother.
Right.
And it just weirds me out, but fascinates me at the same time. And I think where Ruby Frankie came in and really threw herself in front of the court was because everyone stepped in to prevent that from happening.
Right.
Because right. who knows how far Jody Hildebrand would have taken it. Who knows?
I mean, when you start throwing around the term evil, mm-hmm. you know.
Children.
Yeah. And, I'm referring to anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. But children's it's much worse. Trust me. I'm not saying that. I'm more just referring to it goes to the mentality of what the military does for enemy combatants, right? You dehumanize them so that when you are murdering them, your brain is okay with it. So the first step is to remove the humanity from the individual that you are going to kill.
Right.
So the first step is to create them as evil, you know, maybe not the first step, but it is the big step. And then once you're sold on the idea that someone is evil, their death is meaningless then at that
and
point.
And it's your God-given right to do away with them.
Or
do whatever it takes to cast Satan out of a 12-year-old.
And you can even take it from outside of the religious doctrine as well, is that, you know, throughout history, if we were able to go back and kill evil people, life would be much better. You know, we could save lives. Not so much that we're even removing, you know, an agent of Satan from the world, but that we're removing somebody that in the future might be a mass murderer or kill people and stuff like that. So it's, you know, from all aspects, from all people, when you start throwing the term evil around or the devil or Satan and stuff like that, it gets really tough. It's the same issue whenever they're doing these forced exorcisms on these kids who just needed mental health. But because it's the devil, we have to treat them differently and deny them access to medicine. It's the same idea.
And that's, that's exactly what Jody Hildebrandt's teachings were. You had to cast out this evilness by...
How do you do that?
By what the prosecutor said, putting them in a concentration camp.
Right. Yep. So, and what's the outcome of a concentration camp?
Is death.
Is death.
Yep.
Yep. Well, it's not exactly true.
Significant hardship.
It's significant hardships. And more importantly, it is a de facto way of control of a population. You know, and that is exactly what it was that they were not human and they can be treated however we deem necessary. So again, it's back to dehumanization of an individual.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part, because then let's say you get to that control level and you know that people don't stop there. What's the next step?
Right.
Well, what are you going to do with them? Okay, now you've got them in control and you got them locked up and you're not feeding them, or you're only feeding them every so often, and they're still acting out because they're fucking starving and dying.
And children.
And their children. There's only one next step to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I get the impression, based on what I heard, is that Ruby Frank saw that and realized that, like, how close they were.
Because they probably were discussing it.
Maybe. Can you imagine that we have to kill them because then they won't go to heaven, or whatever kind of crazy thoughts that people have, that my mother has. You
know? Yeah. So, not really picking up your voice though. I can't tell if it is or not. But so here's kind of a question, is that I know in some religions there's this idea that people of a certain age are innocent, like kids, if they die, they all go to heaven because of their innocence, you know, like, I know Catholic, I think the Catholic Church is like that. Like, no, you're born into sin. That's right. Yeah. As soon as you're born, you're a little dirty bastard. Mm-hmm. So,
I think most Christianity believes that you're born a sinner.
Mm.
I
wonder what the Mormon thought of that is.
You're born a sinner, and you have to be baptized at 8 years old.
Okay, but then when you're baptized, you're free of all the sin,
right?
So as long as you're over eight, you know, you're pretty clean at that point. Mm-hmm. So the older you get, the more sin you get. You know, I'm just wondering if that is a context into this, as well as, you know, well, they're like 10 years old, they're still innocent, so they'll go to heaven when they die. You know,
I don't think so. I think it's more of that they're going to die a Mormon, and so they're going to go on to their next life or probation or whatever they call it. I think that's, and because the Mormons believe that the afterlife, you get to be in control of your own world and you create your own world paradise.
That's interesting.
So you want to go to this world with all of your family.
Right.
And if they deny or if they sin, then they don't make it to that world family situation.
Right. Right. Wow.
And so in my mother's case, what she...
So you get ostracized after death.
Yeah. No, that's why they baptize for the dead. That's why why we have so much genealogical advancements because of the Mormon Church.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Because of they baptize for the dead because they want their family to be there with them in that...
In Mormon heaven.
In Mormon heaven, the world that they own or whatever they became gods of. And my mom... Her belief, like if you really step down to her belief, is that if I died before Armageddon came, I would be resurrected.
Right.
This is the belief it was at the time.
Yeah, it changed a few times. Yeah,
constantly. But at the time, was if I died before Armageddon, that there was a chance that I would be resurrected. So, in my mind, and this is what I asked her: if you killed me, I would be resurrected and live with you in the paradise earth. What if your religion told you to do that?
Yeah.
Because that's the logical conclusion to shunning me. And again, she didn't have an answer to that. Just, they would never tell me to do that. But anyway, going back to Ruby Frankie, what she said, I really... liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't excuse what she did, but if I put myself in a high control situation like I was in, I could see myself doing bad things. And bad things have been done to other people who are in control, high controlled situations.
Right.
There's another podcaster and they have that t-shirt that I want. I'm sorry for the things I said when I was in a cult. Right. Because you do and say things that are so inappropriate in the real world and you think are appropriate because of this life that you're living.
Right.
And she was so isolated with her and Jody Hildebrandt that it was easy to fall into that swamp. And it was easy to see that these things were okay. And then when she was in jail and the light switch went off and she realized how horrible of a person she was, she threw herself at the mercy of the court.
Right.
It's a very, in my mind, having been raised in a cult, it's a very logical progression of events that could happen. And her reaction and the way she pled guilty and the way she accepted the sentencing was really interesting.
Like, yeah, it was definitely odd.
I appreciate it. I don't think I've ever, And I watch a lot of court cases. You know, I've never said that. You know, Crazy Zombie Mom, she's like, I'm going to heaven and and my babies are in heaven. You know, I'm just off the wall crazy when she was sentenced. And Jody was completely the opposite.
Right.
Or Ruby was completely the opposite. Jody Hildebrandt, on the other hand, her statement was literally like 20 seconds long. And it was, I'm sorry for the kids. She never took accountability for any of it. And the judge said, you are the reason those things happened to the kids. And she didn't react or say anything.
No, no.
And she was the victim again. And this goes back to high control leaders.
Right.
They are always the victim. But you can never be a victim.
Yeah. Right.
But they're always the victim.
Look at what you're doing to me.
Exactly.
How could you do this to us?
And you're, and I'm feeling this way or that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the sentencing thing. Now, the prosecutor held a press conference afterward, and that was even more interesting because in the press conference, he said, I hope Jody Hildebrandt gets the maximum by the parole board, and I hope Ruby Frankie gets the minimum.
Yeah.
Now, this is a guy who's so close to the case.
He knows everything. Yeah.
He knows. He even said he knows stuff that we don't know. He knows. He probably knows what that switch was that flipped Frankie to start thinking clearly. And so he said in front of the judge, he said there are recordings of Jody Hildebrandt being the victim, not taking responsibility, and she knew she was being recorded.
So acting the victim?
Acting the victim.
Yeah. You said being the victim.
Yeah. She was, yeah, she's saying I'm the victim.
Yeah.
These kids are to blame.
Yeah. But just to be clear, we have recordings of her acting like she was the victim. Yes. Exactly. Not being the victim. Being the victim means that, you know. She was the one. Yeah.
She was saying, I'm the victim, or whatever the calls exactly. are. And I hope those calls are released. I don't know if they ever will be, but maybe
eventually
a Netflix podcast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They would get released because I would be really interested to hear those.
Yeah, we're going to see 3 or 4 documentaries about this you know.
So fascinating. And I hope Ruby Frankie is interviewed and she says what it was that woke her up, where she got out of it. She may never do it.
Yeah.
But I would like to hear from her. I feel like I'm the only person on her side, but there's got to be more.
Oh, no, there's got to be a lot
more. And it's not that I'm on her side. I just want to clarify what I'm saying.
Oh, so what you're saying is that you support a woman that abuses her children. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, we're good with that.
No, what she did was wrong. The same way Patty Hearst robbing a bank and killing was wrong.
Yes.
She was under a spell. She was controlled, and I really feel that way based on what I see and how things in my mind progressed. That's how I see it. And I think the prosecutor also sees that.
Right.
I think the prosecutor
You know the prosecutors. The prosecutor wouldn't say, I hope that the person that I'm prosecuting gets the least. That people don't say that.
Yeah.
And they don't. They say
this is a court case. This is a courthouse that knows cults. Also,
wait a minute, was he a DA or was he just prosecuting attorney?
I think he was just a prosecuting attorney.
Okay.
But this is the one that prosecuted Warren Jeffs. Same group of people.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he has a thing for Mormons.
Well, I mean, St. George, Utah.
Well, he hates Mormons, apparently. He just doesn't like them.
I don't think so. You're starting ridiculous rumors. I'm pretty sure the prosecutor is a Mormon, too, and the judge was a Mormon. I mean, they're all Mormons. But they know cults. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They know Warren Jeffs. They know.
They know the worst of what comes out of that area.
Absolutely. And they also probably know all of the children from those polygamists who are, like we talked about last time, who have turned to drugs and they're trying to rehabilitate them. So they probably have seen those court cases too.
Right.
And so they know. They can see the difference between somebody who's still under control and somebody who has woken up.
It'd be interesting to see if, because I do think what she did was good, at the end, the mom. I'm just very skeptical. You know what I mean? Like, if you had nothing else to lose. Last ditch effort. Just act that way.
And that's what you know? I think most
lawyers would tell you to do. Yeah.
But nobody does.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Well, because nobody wants to admit that they're wrong. I mean, it's just we were discussing that. It's just that when court is this ultimate you are wrong statement, you know, and especially, I was going to say, especially this time in history, I don't know if that's a fact. It just feels this way that nobody in the past 20 years could admit, you know, like the FTX guy, like Trump, like all these people that have gone to court and they just, there's a mountain of evidence literally signed by the people you know, that are doing this. Oh, I didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they can't admit it even after they were found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
The prevailing sentiment is I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, I stole billions of dollars from people and couldn't pay them back, you know, but I'm not wrong. It's just like, what the hell?
Yeah. No, she did not say that.
Yeah.
She said she thanked everyone
mm-hmm.
for saving her children
yeah.
and said, I was wrong. Yeah. I did this. I caused this pain. I do what you will.
Yeah.
And as if a mother who's been caught up in whatever thing that causes harm to her children, my mother would never do that.
Yeah.
There's no way my mother would ever do that.
Yeah, exactly.
My mother would never go up. She would do what Lori, Chad, Daybell person
I feel,
would have done.
I feel that your mom would offer an apology just enough because she thinks it would placate someone, like placate you, and that's it.
She's
the type of person that says, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Exactly.
That would be her response.
Yeah. She could be prosecuted,
mm-hmm.
found guilty for child abuse. But if her church told her that was what she was supposed to do.
Then that's it.
You would never get an apology from her.
Yep.
Ever.
Yep.
She's never apologized to me.
Oh,
ever.
Yeah.
I don't ever.
I've heard her apologize to you. I'm using air quotes for all the people out there that are listening on the podcast. And it's the same apology from, you know, a bank robber that doesn't feel that they hurt anybody by mm-hmm. robbing banks.
Yeah.
It's the same mentality, which is you're alive. So why are you complaining?
Exactly. You deserved it. I did what I was supposed to do.
Yep.
Stop complaining.
Yeah. Because when me and you were in heaven.
Yeah. But again, I go back to, I'm so thankful she didn't choose a death cult.
Yeah.
Which the older I get, the more I realize how close she was.
Oh, yeah.
She was so close. Or not just a death cult. She could have joined the Children of God. And those people, like every one of those kids came out just horribly abused.
Yeah.
And she was in those areas right at that right time. And so I'm thankful that that didn't happen. That I wasn't part of those worst cults, I guess.
Maybe she tried and she was just too crazy for them.
I doubt it. I think Jim Jones would have been all over her.
Yeah.
He would have been like, yeah, you're the one. She would have been like, here, take my teenage daughter.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you love God. She just can't think for herself. And so my mother,
your mother though is an extreme example of someone that gets indoctrinated into a cult too, because there are people that can think for themselves and still get indoctrinated and still get brainwashed and mm-hmm. pulled into these high control groups too.
Right, right.
I want to be very clear, like, you know, terms like, you know, your mother can't think for herself. Yes. But that's not the reason she's in a cult.
Yeah.
It's another reason.
It's the reason why she can't think her way out of a cult.
Yeah.
And as a child of mental abuse, mm-hmm. right? A spiritual and mental abuse. I never was physically abused. I never was sexually abused. And I'm still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate what Ruby Frankie said.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Right.
If my mother ever came to me and said what Ruby Frankie said,
you wouldn't forgive, but you would at least put that first brick down, right?
Like just the thought almost brings me to tears.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah.
Because I could never imagine her doing that. And so the fact that Ruby Frankie in jail was able to flip the switch, realize
mm-hmm.
that she was in a cult.
Allegedly
in a high control group.
No, allegedly she flipped a switch.
So. Allegedly. Who knows what she...
I, yeah, yeah. again, let's put this at face value that what she said was true.
If my mother did that,
yeah,
it would be a game changer.
Yeah,
like I would appreciate it so much.
Mm-hmm.
So,
just from a human level,
yeah, yeah, just all the horrible stuff that my mother has said to me and said more to me.
Yeah,
you know. So that's my thoughts on Ruby Frank. I feel like I'm the only person in the world. Jody Hildebrandt, I hope she rots in prison.
And yeah,
that woman is nasty. She is just like Warren Jeffs. She's mm-hmm. she is a nasty piece of work, and
mm-hmm.
she is just gross.
And that's the only from the stuff that you know.
Exactly.
And that's the whole thing about this case is that I'm glad it's not drawn out case. I mean, I'm sure you're not. You'd have loved to have seen the court.
Oh, I would have been all over it. Yeah.
But for the people that were not arrested, involved, I'm glad it wasn't a long drawn out case where you had kids on the stand.
And, yeah.
I mean, so there's a lot of good things that this ended. But you also don't get to see the full history.
Right.
Of everything that occurred. You know, when you saw Zombie Mom, you got to see everything that was said.
All the crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the end, she's still in love with him and still doesn't see anything that she did wrong.
Nothing.
You know, it just makes it worse, you know?
Yeah. So you look at Zombie Mom and then you look at Ruby Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see the difference.
Yeah.
And I can see my mother in both of them.
Yeah.
And how my mother was exactly like Zombie Mom, mm-hmm. Lori Fallow, David Koresh, crazy person. And every time I see her, I see my mother.
That's so funny.
Whereas Ruby Frankie, after today, I don't see my mother in her anymore. Her actions, I what she said today, what she said yesterday,
mm-hmm.
I don't see it. I don't see my mother.
Yeah.
So to me, that means
curious
a lot.
To see how it's gonna. I'm curious to see how this is gonna play out the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, one is if it is true, and again, everything at face value. If it is true, then I do hope she gets a light sentence. I do hope that she gets counseling that she needs, like good counseling. But what I hope for most of all is that the kids have some semblance of normalcy.
And I think they can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm approaching this from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if my mother would have said what she said, my heart would melt.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea what the other children, how they feel, and they may never forgive her. And that's completely their right.
Yeah. They have that right. And they have that Absolutely. Understanding from everybody too.
Yeah. And know that I have no contact with my mother. I haven't had contact with her in 15, 20 years.
Something like that.
It's gotta be 20 years because
she sent you a letter after the kids were born, I think. If I'm not mistaken.
I didn't even read it.
No, I think you got a letter from them. And that was a letter from her or something like that. I think that was it. That was the only contact. It's after your aunt died.
It was after my aunt died.
Yeah.
That was the last time we ever physically saw her.
Yeah.
And then when my dad had his accident,
mm-hmm.
she tried to kind of come back mm-hmm. into my life. And then she tried to friend me on Facebook
mm-hmm.
because that was during the pandemic and she was just trying to count.
So that was contact,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my mind.
But there was never an apology.
No.
In any of those points through the last 20 years, there was never an apology.
Right.
It was, you're my daughter. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
But never an apology. So, I don't know. I'm not on Ruby Frankie's side.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little jealous of the kids. You know, I'm jealous of anyone whose mother comes around and comes to terms and is in their life.
Yeah.
You know? It's really hard for me to not be jealous, but
yeah,
that's yeah. just human nature.
Yeah. Especially being jealous for kids that were tortured, you know.
No.
It's, you know, jealous is a kind of a rough word.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It's just when you grow up in a cult like those kids did, like I did, it's so complicated. Everything is so complicated.
People that grow up outside of a cult, things are very complicated. I mean, my family is super complicated.
Yeah.
You know? And it had nothing to do with religion at all. It just had to do with family issues. But you take normal family issues and you compound it. It's just the complexities are through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I don't know if jealousy is the right word, but I think jealousy is the right word because I would.
You're jealous in that moment.
Of the apology.
Yep.
I would love to hear an apology, which I know I never will.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, it hurts to think about. So that's my two hot takes.
Your mom be crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm still again on the fence. So.
And I think the vast majority of people are.
Yes.
Because they don't have the kind of world experience like I do. And I'm wondering other people that have the world experience
what
like
they thinking?
I do,
yeah.
what they really think.
And so for me, I mean, I understand it. I mean, like again, I understand where all this is coming from. It's just you're apologizing on closing statement, you know, for sentencing. It's kind of like, okay. You know what I mean? It's...
You're skeptical. Yeah.
I am. I very much am.
Especially because people have seen her on YouTube for so long and being hypocritical and...
Yep. She hid it for so long from everybody. Mm. So she could be hiding it now. I'm not saying she is. I'm really not. I don't know. I don't know enough about her. I don't know enough about the situation to even come up with an opinion.
None of us do.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. None of us do.
Right.
All I'm going on is my.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Your gut.
My worldview.
Yeah. And what your gut is telling you. Right.
Exactly.
And my gut's not telling me anything either way. I don't trust her, but I don't need to. See, that's the whole thing about this, too, is that whatever she said is irrelevant for me and everybody in the world other than the people that were involved in that situation.
Yeah.
So,
As a child of a cult mom,
mm-hmm.
what she said was good for me.
Yes.
So if her children decide to forgive her, she's making the right steps.
Yes.
She's doing the right things.
Yes.
To get that forgiveness.
I don't disagree with that.
If she deserves it or doesn't deserve it or if she's faking it, I have no idea.
And John Smith will tell also.
John Smith.
I don't know. Who's the guy that started Mormonism?
Joseph Smith.
Joseph Smith. Whatever.
John
Joseph.
Dingleheim.
Yeah, exactly. Him. Somebody. His name is my name, too.
Somebody.
One of those Smith persons.
Yeah, but anyway. Exactly.
Yep. Right. Well, anyways, yeah, good take. We'll see how it goes. I'm not holding my breath on it.
Yep. So. Well, thank you for talking to me.
Yeah.
Again, we are the Redacted Apostate.
It's so hard to say that word, isn't it?
Have a great evening.